Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all here. It's a beautiful, rainy day out and the day to celebrate the Lord. So let's have a word of prayer and begin. Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Father, for your Son. We thank you for the fact that you have saved us. And so we lift up this time to your glory and honor, Father. Our desire is that all you see and hear pleases you and is edifying and uplifting to all that are present. And again, we thank you, God, for your grace and your love, your presence in our midst. For it's in Jesus' very precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
I wrote down some comments so I wouldn't babble on, so I'm going to read them for you. We all have Christmas carols. And if you don't, you might as well just leave right now, because that's what we're doing today. If you're like me, you like to listen to them, you like to sing along with them. Sometimes you just hum when you don't know the words. I know I do. You ask my husband. I sing them all the time. So even though the words are the things that make the message of a song, we, as adults, tend to remember the melody, and of course children do too. That's why we've chosen some specific carols and Christmas songs today to match the story of Christ. We took the story of Christ, obviously, right from the scriptures, and they will be up on the PowerPoint for you to read along. And they were taken from the New King James Version. So if you don't want to look them up in your Bible, you can follow along on the PowerPoint. So as we read these scriptures, I have readers, and we're going to sing the songs all together. So you are part of this Christmas program. We've chosen certain verses, sometimes, and not the whole song, to specifically match the scripture verses. So you may use your hymnal, which is great. In fact, I'm going to use mine. But just remember, some of the verses will be omitted, partly for time and partly for the children's sake, but mostly to match the scriptures. Remember that these songs are the gospel with a melody. So as you're singing them, please look at the words. The children and the youth who came today, we're going to guide through a little bit, and maybe Samuel can come up and be a shepherd when the time comes. He wasn't here, and I was thinking maybe she could too. So the kids who want to come up later with the shepherds, we'll give them a come down, okay? Just watch children. Okay, the children hopefully will be acting out the message. We're not quite sure, but you know that they're gorgeous. So whatever they do, well, you're going to give it to God. Always remember, since you won't be able to concentrate today, I know, because you'll be looking at the children, we would like you to take home your bulletin and this week read the scriptures that go along with the gospel stories. It would be great if you could even read it on Christmas Day with your family. So that way you can really get the message. You all know the message, but this is matching the message with Christmas songs. So we'll go ahead and start. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
Matthew 1:20-21. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
He was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. were, in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
The Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Matthew 2, 1 through 2, and 9 through 11.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When they heard the king had departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over it where the young child was. And when they had came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name.
Generation of the children that we've grown up around over the years grow up. It is a blessing to see that cycle developing, an opportunity to invest in those children. And so, Debbie, thank you for organizing that. You did such a great job. Appreciate it. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one here. And Father, I pray that we look at your word further, that you will continue to be pleased with your name being lifted up, your word being presented, and your love being invested in one another. And I just pray, Father, please, that as we look at this message, that it will be everything and exactly what you want it to be, that every syllable that is uttered out of my mouth will be in line and in agreement with you. And I pray that you'll be glorified, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The last few weeks, I've been preaching on gifts. The first one was the most perfect gift we can give God. And that was, in the Hebrew, Deuteronomy was the Shema. And then, of course, you find it in Matthew, in the New Testament, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. God wants all of us completely to give ourselves completely to God. In every area, and every thought, and every action, every day, every moment that we are conscious before the Lord. And so that's the first and best gift that we can give to God, is all that we are, in absolute love for Him. The following week, I preached on what three special gifts that we can have to give to God. And those three special gifts were doing good works. We learned that meant that we were created under good works, predestined before time for the works that God wants each one of us to do in Him and through Him for His glory, which is an awesome thought in itself. God wants us to live moral lives. As the world becomes morally more decayed and offensive to the truth of God's word, God's people are called to live moral lives and to keep to the standard that God has given. That's the second of those three special gifts that we can give to God. And the third one is not any less important than the other two, and that is to love going to church. The church and family and fellowship and serving and using the gifts that God has given each one of us independently is used rightly for the Lord with a right heart to please Him and to build each other up, edifying one another, thinking about each other first. And so those are three special gifts that we can give to God. Now I want to ask you a question. What was the first gift that was given at Christmas? Is it rhetorical? The first gift was His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, we've been focusing on what gift can we give God. Because I think that's important for us to remember that. At Christmas time, we get wrapped up in the traditions in our family and the love that we share. And that's good. But we need to make sure that we keep the focus on Jesus as well. We honor Him as being the Savior of the world that God sent. The incarnation of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And that we acknowledge Him on Christmas, which is His birthday, and as we are celebrating it. Maybe not in a technical term, in the right time of the year, biblically, but as far as our culture goes, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. So we have these gifts that we want to give to God, and instead of thinking, what gifts do we get at Christmas time? And we think, what gifts can we give to God? The perfect gift, our whole self, 100%, and again, doing good works, living moral lives, and loving going to church. Those are gifts that God is pleased with. Those are all outlined in Scripture as what He would like to see from us. And having said that, to think that we can actually give God a gift when He's in heaven and we're here. But those are the things that He values. So the first gift that was given was His Son, Jesus Christ. We see it flip-flopping, we see reciprocating now. Instead of looking at what gifts that we can give God in the midst of a commercialized holiday as believers in Christ, what gifts can we be focused on giving God? What gift did God give us? It was His Son. Now I have to ask the question, which is more valued? Which do we focus on more? The gifts that we receive? Now I'm not talking about the packages underneath the tree, or that will be. But I'm talking about the gifts that we receive from God, our salvation, our relationship. All those things are gifts from God to Him. The relationship we have with Him, those are valuable, but we have to remember that they're gifts that were given to us. Even our talents were given to us, right? So, which are we going to focus on more? The things that we've gotten from God? Or are we going to focus on the giver who is God? So I think it's real important for us to remember. See, the only way that we can give ourselves 100%, the only way that we can be living moral lives and upright lives and loving church and being what God has called us to be is if we first love Him. That's what God wants. Our love to be for Him. So the first gift that was given to Christ, we might say it was gold from the Magi, but the first gift that God wants is you and me, our whole self. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, He loves all of us, in this way, He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." Those of us that have children, to give up our child to be killed for a payment for sin is beyond thinkable. And yet God in His love for us gave His Son as a payment for your sin and my sin, that we might know Him and that we might grow in love with Him. And I want to underscore that. I love the thought of being in love with Jesus. Growing in the knowledge of Christ. Knowing the person of Jesus. Becoming intimate with God Himself. Not so much relishing in the gifts that He gives us and the talents He gives us and the blessing of eternal security that we have, although we should be thanking Him for that, but relishing the relationship that we have in Jesus. Why was Jesus given or sent to us in such a lowly, humble way? I mean, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, creator of heaven and earth, creator of you and I, everything. And he came as a lowly child, meaning poor, wrapped in shredded cloths, laid in a manger, a trough that animals ate out of, in a cave where the manger was, smelly, dirty cave, and he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords, and he came so that he could be at that low state so that all people would not feel alienated but able to approach him. If he came as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in his glory, as a king rather, we wouldn't be able to approach him as readily. He's king. He still is king. But his presence and how he reveals himself in that humble way enables us to approach him. If he came in his glory, we wouldn't be able to even look at him. In Exodus 33, when God told Moses, put your face in the cleft of the rock, and I'll put my hand over you, and I'm going to pass by you. When I lift my hand, you can see my back, but you can't see me. And yet God calls us to seek him in a very real, personal way, face to face. See, I know you by your face. And you know me by my face. That hurts some of you to know my face. No, I'm teasing. But you know what I'm saying. It's the intricacy of who we are, our own character, face to face, that in some ways reveals who we are. Not so much on the inside, but the character. I can identify you because I see you. I know you. Without your head, I don't know who you are. And so God wants us to seek him face to face. And we've only been able to do that through the blood of Christ. In our human flesh, we couldn't do that. Moses couldn't see him face to face. At least he died. But because Jesus lives in your heart and my heart as believers in Christ, we can approach God face to face. Sure, I don't see the physical face of Christ in front of me, but I gain the intricacies of the person of Jesus as I relish in him, as I humbly present myself before him, as I genuinely seek him with my heart, because I love him. I love the gift giver. The giver of eternal life is God. And I love him. I'm thankful for the gifts, but I love him. And that's what we need to remember. It's not what we get out of God. It's our relationship in God that he so desires. Since the first gift given at Christmas was God's Son, love the giver and the gift of Jesus. Love him more than we admire the giver. Love him more than we admire the giver of the gifts we receive from friends and families here on earth. This Christmas, love, make it a focus. Not saying that you're not there, but I look at Jesus like a treasure or treasure chest. Ever have that fantasy as a kid? Treasure chest, open it up, all the jewels and the glimmering, shining stuff, and you want to dig in and find out what all is there? Well, Jesus is a treasure chest that has no bottom. The more you dig, the more you find, but it never stops. The more we want to know him, the more we can. The more we want to find out the riches of Christ, we can. But it comes through that personal relationship of giving ourselves to him and loving him first more than the gifts that were given to us. I want to close with this benediction out of Ephesians 3:14. It says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. That's a humbling statement, isn't it? Kneel before the Father. I love that. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. There's family in heaven, citizenship in heaven, and there's the family of the body of Christ here. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened in power in the inner man through the Spirit, and that the Messiah will dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, that's the one who is in love with the giver of the gift. And his name is Jesus. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The glory of God is revealed through you and I. As we love the giver. You know, you might get a really special gift this year for Christmas. But you might also see the reflection of that love from the person who gave it. And love that more. God wants the same. So if you are here today and you are not a believer in Christ, if you have never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, know this, God loves you. No matter where you've been, what you've done, and who you are, it doesn't matter. And if you want to ask Christ into your heart and receive him as your Savior, you can today. That's something that brings glory to God and that blesses him. So let's all stand and ask the praise team to come on up. And I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you'd like to pray this prayer with me for the first time, asking Christ in your heart, please pray it. And then afterwards, I'm simply going to ask you, did anybody pray that prayer? And if you would, just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come up here, unless you want to come up here, but just raise your hand. And what you're doing is you're saying, I'm not ashamed of what I just did. I'm not ashamed of the decision to receive Christ. And I'm letting everybody know. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior and never have, please pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I repent of my sins. And I ask that you would come and live in my heart as my personal Lord and Savior forever and ever. Amen. Anybody pray that prayer for the first time? Oh, great, because I hope that means everybody here is a Christian. And if you haven't, don't forget it. God loves you. He wants to come in your heart.
We're going to close with, we have a Savior. If you didn't pray that prayer and you don't know the Lord, the title of the song is We Have a Savior. He's for everyone. We have a Savior. Thank you.
Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one here. We ask, Father, for a special time this Christmas that is that much more evident of your presence, your spirit, our hearts focused on you, and that we would share, Father, not only our faith, but our love of Christ for each other. And I pray, Father, that you would just be glorified. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for the children that just touched our hearts in such a sweet and precious way. And thank you, Father, for this day. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.